When being cheap is good for business.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. In times like these, less equals more. Shoppers looking for bargains on such necessities as food and pharmacy items helped boost profits at Walmart stores in the first quarter of the year. But there's a gray cloud attached to that silver lining despite the solid start to the year. The world's biggest retailer is warning that results in the current quarter could miss Wall Street estimates as customer paychecks get stretched thin. Overall retail figures out this morning from the Commerce Department suggest consumer spending is more resilient than many analysts anticipated. Still, sales dipped again last month, 0.2%. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
Auto sales were off nearly 3% in April. Excluding that, retail sales were actually up 0.5% last month, well above most predictions. Joe Scarupa edits RIS News, a retail industry publication. He says the economic slowdown so far has hit Wall Street far harder than Main Street.
The perfect storm for retail sluggishness can really be seen in layoffs. Until we see unemployment spiking up 3 and 4%, I don't expect to see a consumer spending dip until that happens.
This month, the Bush administration started sending out checks as part of its economic stimulus package. That's $100 billion that retailers are hoping will juice sales in May. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Investors are trying to figure out how they feel about those retail numbers. All three of the major indexes are clinging close to the center line so far. The Dow's off 15, the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 also down fractionally. PC giant Hewlett-Packard is acquiring Electronic Data Systems Corporation in a deal valued at nearly $14 billion. The deal positions HP as the world's second largest provider of technology services after IBM. Many South Africans are welcoming a U.S. Supreme Court move that effectively allows them to sue companies accused of profiting from apartheid. So many justices are on the high court reporting conflicts involving their own business interests that they were forced to let stand an appeals court allowing the cases to proceed. The three lawsuits target dozens of companies accused of dealing with South Africa's former apartheid regime, including Chevron, Citigroup, and Ford Motor Company. Marketplace's Africa correspondent Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
Victims of South Africa's old apartheid regime are celebrating this morning. They say tens of thousands were killed and tortured under apartheid, while the millions of the country's black majority were economically disenfranchised. The plaintiffs say these companies profited while propping up the apartheid government and its security forces by supplying oil, weapons, and technology support. One of the groups seeking compensation consists of 55,000 survivors of human rights abuses. The director says many affected by the violence remain destitute and struggle to reintegrate into South Africa's economy 14 years after the end of apartheid. She says members of the group are seeking damages, and she's hopeful that the new development will force the companies to come to the negotiation table. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
What would you do if you were given a last-minute seat on a flight, only to be ordered out of the seat because an off-duty flight attendant didn't want to squeeze into an employee jump seat? But wait, there's more. A New York man is accusing JetBlue of telling him to hang out in the plane's bathroom for, as they say, the duration of the flight, and that he couldn't even use the jump seat because it's for employees only. He claims he suffered extreme humiliation and is suing for $2 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It's one of the first rules of investing, and it sounds like common sense. Don't buy what you can't understand. Trouble is, Wall Street is engaging in all kinds of confusing financial practices behind the scenes these days, as Bear Stearns investors learned the hard way. Has financial innovation gone too far when even many PhDs can't seem to explain how things work? We've been putting that question to a few experts, Harvard University finance professor Josh Lerner among them. He thinks things crossed the line when Wall Street bankers came up with all but incomprehensible investment offerings.
Extremely complex hybrid securities piled on top of each other, where certainly their risk and return properties weren't well understood, And where it seems that they weren't solving any kind of fundamental economic problem by being set up, it was almost like it was innovation for the sake of innovation itself.
Or, he suggests, simply for the profit of the investment banks promoting those obscure investment offerings. As long as everyone was making money, there were few complaints. Lawmakers and regulators have kept their hands off for decades to encourage financial innovation. But Lerner thinks regulators have to be inventive now, too.
Just as there is a need for innovation in terms of the kinds of financial securities that are being offered, there is a need for innovation in terms of what kind of roles and what kind of information regulators have, greater transparency in the system.
Sounds good, but I think in many ways it's a cop-out. There are certain practices that are just unwise.
That's Michael Lewitt, president of Hegemony Capital Management. He argues transparency is worthless as long as executives are intent on using sleight of hand.
There was a lot of disclosure about what Enron was doing. There was only one problem. It was almost not understandable. Some of these things that they're doing are so complicated that you can be as transparent as you want and disclose it all you want, and most people are not going to understand it.
Lewitt says the only thing Wall Street bankers have made clear lately is that they can't be trusted to make things clear. And that leaves it up to regulators to draw very sharp lines about what's permitted and what's not. Democratic Congressman Barney Frank chairs the House Financial Services Committee. He's convinced new regulation is necessary to bring clarity to the financial markets.
As we talk about these plans, I did have one person say to me, well, you know, Congressman, some smart people don't agree with what you're proposing. My answer is yes, no dumb people caused this problem. You had to be very smart to think up things that were as exotic and as potentially damaging.
And then again, just maybe smart like a fox, as investment whiz Warren Buffett once observed about some confusing annual reports from corporations. If I can't understand it, I know they don't want me to understand it. Let us know how you understand this issue. Just visit marketplace.org and click on the link that says Contact. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.